Would you turn to the 17th Psalm? Now I'm going to read this psalm, and while I'm reading it, think of these being the words of David, and they are. But even more than that, you can see the words of Christ in this psalm. And one of the things I was thinking about the psalms, I think I've learned more about the person of Christ through reading these psalms and seeing how he prays. Now, verse 1, Psalm 17. Hear the right, O Lord. Have you ever prayed that way? Hear the right. Well, I can certainly understand it in Christ praying. Hear the right. He can pray that. But let's go on reading. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies which compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that's greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy right hand, O Lord. From men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, that full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes, as for me. I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Let's pray. Lord, how thankful we are for who you are and how you save by your Son. Lord, we ask that you would give us grace to be still and to know that thou art God. We ask that we might be enabled to hear your gospel. We ask that we might be enabled to worship in spirit and in truth. We ask that we might not be left to our own understanding and our own will, but that your grace would reign indeed in us. We ask that our sins might be forgiven and cleansed for Christ's sake. Lord, what a joy to open your word and see something of the glory of your Son. Bless us, bless all your people wherever they meet together, for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, I have always loved this psalm, particularly because of verse 15. David says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Now, what a glorious thing that is to think about. Me, beholding the face of God, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in perfect righteousness. Now, I can't imagine it. I can't begin to grasp just what that means, but this is the heritage of every believer. I'm going to behold his face in righteousness. And then he says, I shall be satisfied. Not before this. I'll be satisfied when I awake. You know, when I die, and this is true of every believer, when I die, I'm going to awake in his likeness. Now, is that a reason to look forward to death? Sure is. I'm going to awake in his likeness. Now, like I said, this is a Psalm of David. That's what it says. And we're going to read it as a Psalm of David once, and then we're going to read it as a Psalm of Christ speaking in the first person, which in some respects, I think that's all it is. But let's read it the other way as well. Hear the right, O Lord. I suppose David is saying in this case, he's talking about being persecuted, and he's saying in this case, I'm right. You can look at it that way. I don't know that I've ever felt that way. But David was saying this. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. I'm very sincere about this. Let my sentence or my judgment come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal, that are right, that are fair, that are just. Now he's not appealing to men, he's appealing to God for this. Thou hast proved mine heart, you've tested my heart. You visited me in the night, thou hast tried me, and shall find nothing. Now the only way I can understand that is David really believing that the life of Christ is his life. And he could say, with regard to that, you've tried me, you've examined me, you've proved me, and you found nothing. Nothing but that which is holy, righteous, good, just. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. And I think there, if this is David speaking, he's saying, I'm not going to try to vindicate myself, I'm not going to try to justify myself. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, is what he's saying. I'm not going to try to defend myself. The Lord is the judge of this case. He's the one who knows what is taking place. David says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I've kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Only by your words and by your grace, but I've kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Now, if you don't hold me up, I'll fall. And my footsteps will slip if you don't preserve me. I've called upon thee, for thou wilt hear, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. David says, show me thy marvelous loving kindness. O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Now, his right hand is Christ. He saves by his right hand. And he saves by his right hand those who put their trust in him. Now, what does it mean to put your trust in Christ? It means you are relying only on him as everything you need to make you acceptable before God. That's what it is to believe Christ. You're relying on Him. You're not looking to yourself. You're not looking to your works. You're relying on Him to answer those who rise up against you. Now, who rises up against me? My sins. My sins. He answers that. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Keep me, David says in verse 8, as the apple of thine eye. Keep me in your favor. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. I need your protection from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies which compass me about. Now that can be men, no doubt, who hate his God, his gospel, and him. But I think his deadly enemies, as much as anything else, are his sins. That's what. Nothing else is a deadly enemy. It's a sin. Sins that is a deadly enemy. They are enclosed in their own fat. Now that's not talking about obesity. That's talking about they're just enclosed in their own ways, in their own works, in their own thoughts, in their own, they're just enclosed by it. With their mouth they speak proudly, arrogantly. They have now compassed us in our steps. Now David goes from me to us. They have now compassed us in our steps. This is all of God's people's experience. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth like as a lion that's greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord. These people that are like these lions coming at us. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. You know, you can pray that with regard to anyone that is seeking your life or your enemy of God. You can say, Lord, disappoint their purposes. Disappoint them. That's what David said. Don't let them have their way. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is a sword. And listen to what David's saying. These wicked men are yours. They're your sword doing your will. Isn't it glorious to know that everybody is in the Lord's hands? No matter who they are. When he's even talking about the wicked, he says they're your sword doing your purpose. He says it even stronger in verse 14. From men which are thy hand. Every man. Everybody you run into this week, they're his hand. He's in control. It's his work. And that's why all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, because he controls everybody and everything and every event. Men that are thy hand. From men of the world which have their portion in this life, and they do have their portion in this life. They're having a good life, so to speak. They have everything they want. Their portion is in this life. Whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasures. They're under your judgment. You fill in their belly. Oh, they think everything's great, but they're under your judgment. They're full of children, and they leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Oh, they have plenty of money to leave an inheritance for their children. But as for me, my portion's not in this life. Their portion is in this life. That's a miserable portion. It's so temporary. We're all going to die soon. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Now, that can only be understood in light of the gospel. Because Christ is my righteousness before God. I'm going to behold the very face of God in righteousness. And I'm going to be satisfied, not in this life. As long as I still have my sinful nature, I can't be satisfied with anything about me. But I will be satisfied, completely satisfied, completely content when I awake in thy likeness. The words of David. Now let's read these words strictly as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the right, O Lord. Who's the right? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the right, O Lord. Hear me, I'm the right. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Now, I was thinking about that. Do you know everything? Every time I pray, I feel like there's an element of feigned lips in it. I'm never sincere enough. I never love enough. I never feel enough. My experience is always inadequate. Always. Without exception. Now, does that mean I don't pray? Of course I pray. Of course you pray. But every time my lips are moving, I feel like that there's a measure of feignedness. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Somebody says, too many hypocrites in the church. Well, you ought to feel right at home then, because that's who fills the church. But here the Lord says, my prayer doesn't come with feigned lips at all. Verse 2, let my sentence, my judgment, come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal, that are absolutely right, just, fair, equitable, me. Now this is the way the Lord prays. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. Now, who is that but the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you say to the Lord, you've tried my heart and you've not found anything but that which is pure, holy, right, and true? Of course you couldn't. But the Lord does. He said, the prince of this world hath come and found nothing in me. Nothing he could get hold of. Even when he was in the utter darkness of the cross, he never sinned. He says, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Now, if you make that statement, how long will that last? Well, next time you open your mouth, it'll be transgressing, I guarantee you. But the Lord could say, I am purposed with my mouth that I will not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. He's completely dependent upon the Lord, but he says, I've kept me. Only the Lord Jesus can speak like this. I've kept me. Can I say I've kept me from sin? I've kept me from the past? No, I can't say that. The Lord can. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not, be not moved. Now, as a man, Jesus Christ became flesh. The blood that pumped through his veins began when he began to be in the flesh. And as a man, he was completely dependent upon his Father to hold him up and keep him from slipping. Now, could he have slipped? No. Did he pray for the Lord to keep him from slipping? Yes. Explain that. I can't. That's just who he is. He's the God-man. Verse 6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. What confidence he could speak to his Father. And we can speak with the same confidence because we come in Christ's name. But this is the Lord saying this to his Father. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Verse 7, show thy marvelous loving kindness. Now, when the Lord, I guess it began in Gethsemane. I don't know when it began, but he was cut off from seeing his Father's marvelous loving kindness. Remember when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he stood as the sinner substitute, he felt nothing of his Father's marvelous loving kindness. Now, you might have gone through times when you didn't feel anything either, but you weren't cut off from it. You may have thought you were, but you weren't. He was. Show me thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. And oh, how the Lord put his trust completely in his heavenly Father and his protection. And then he says, keep me as the apple of thine eye. That's what the union that exists between the Father and the Son, the fellowship that exists between the Father and the Son. He says, keep me as the apple of your eye, your favorite, your darling. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies which compass me about. And I really think that's talking about the sins of the elect that became his sins, that compassed him about, that he bore in his own body on the tree. He put them away. But oh, who knows the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ over sin? And he says, verse 10, they are enclosed in their own fat, which with their mouth they speak proudly, arrogantly, talking about unbelievers. They have now compassed us. Now, notice how the language changes. He says, they've compassed us in our steps. Who's the us? Every believer. When he makes this statement, he's speaking of you. They have compassed us. You see, everything the Lord did, he did as an us. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth like as a lion that is greedy of his prey. This is his description of those who have no love for him. As it were, a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down. Now, this is the Lord praying against his enemies. That's a solemn thing. Don't you want him to bring your name in mercy to the Father as your representative? When he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Everybody he prayed for were forgiven. But what about those he prays against? Those who do not believe, they're his enemies. And he says, arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked. And oh, how the Lord knew these wicked men who were driving the nails in his hands and his feet. They were God's sword. God was doing this. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, even while the Lord is having his hands and feet nailed to a cross, he knew this was God's sword. Awake, O sword, smite the shepherd. These men were nothing but pawns in his hand, performing his will. For men which are thy hand, O Lord, verse 14, there was an article in the paper today. I don't know why I read it. Paul Prather in the Herald Leader, his religion article. It's kind of like, I read it every Sunday morning, and it's kind of like driving past a wreck. I guess that's what's going on. But he made the statement, both predestination and free will are true. Okay. Explain that one to me. I mean, that's just... Now men's actions are free. You do what you want to do. If you sin, can you blame God and say, God caused me to do that? No, your sin's all your fault. You do what you want to do. God is completely sovereign over your free actions. And his will is always being done. Now, that's just how glorious and infinite God is. He is in control of everything. Yes, men are responsible for their sin. I'm responsible for my sin, but God is completely sovereign over the actions of every man. And he's always doing his will. There's nothing insignificant.
His purpose is always being done. Do I see it all? No. Do I believe it? Yes, I do. Men are His hand. From men which are Thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world. Men of the world. There's those who are of God. There are those who are of the world. For men of the world which have their portion, their inheritance, what they desire in this life, and whose belly Thou fillest with Thy hid treasure. They're full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. But as for me, and I know this is Him speaking in the darkness that covered the land when He was hanging on the cross. As for me, I can't see you now. I've been cut off. I can't see you. I can't see your face. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what the Lord experienced on Calvary's tree. But even then, He never quit believing God perfectly. Now, when me and you feel like we've been cut off, we think, well, I've been cut off. The Lord's done with me. He's out. I'm going to be the things that come through our mind, well, the Lord really was cut off. Really was. And yet, He spake with this absolute confidence. As for me, I will behold Thy face in absolute righteousness. He knew what His death was accomplishing. He knew what His life was accomplishing. He knew what His death accomplished. He knew that He and every single one of His people would behold the very face of God in absolute righteousness. He says, I shall be satisfied when I awake. And I don't have any doubt that that's talking about the resurrection of Christ. Don't you love to think about that? Him being in the tomb, dead. Who understands that? The God-man died. There He is in the tomb, dead. All of a sudden, His eyes open. He breathes. His heart's pumping. And He says, I'll be satisfied. Satisfied. Right now, He's been made sin. And I don't know what all that means, but it's horrible. He's been made sin. But He says, I'm going to wake. I'm going to die, and I'm going to wake and be raised from the dead with Thy likeness. Now, let me say something about Jesus Christ. He's not like God. He is God. And when the God the Father looks at His Son, He doesn't say, He's like me. He says, He is me. And He will awake in who He is, the very express image of His Father. So I see that psalm. Yes, I see it today as David's words, I guess in a limited way. But oh, how clearly we see this as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that hope of Him being satisfied, awaking in the very likeness of His Father, the hope of every believer. We're not going to be satisfied until we awake in the very likeness of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Okay.